Good morning. So I think Shavas is coming. I expect him to come. And is someone on the line? No? Okay. Okay, so let's start the meeting. So is recording available now? Okay, thank you. So good morning. today we have two main topics. One is for the discussion on the interim report, especially on the Shavas's point, whether one vote per territory is good or not. And the second point is rules and guidelines. We will go through the document with discussion. So I sent you an agenda yesterday. So do you have some amendment proposal to that? Okay, so for the recording purpose, I'd like to make a roll call from this side.
Brad Boswinkle, I can support staff.
Hirohota, chair.jp.
Giovanni Seppia.eu.
Demigechko.br.
David Carton from the Irish Registry, IEDR.
Daniel Kalcher from .bg.
Gabriela Shitek, CCNSO.
Christina Nordstrom, CCNSO.
Okay, thank you. And I hope two more is coming to this meeting. So as to the agenda, I think the agenda was approved. So the agenda item two, which is action points from the last call, I think on my note, there was just one action point. So that was chair to ask members whether WG2 should go forward, leaving variant issues behind. And I got several approval for that. And I think we should note that we can go forward leaving variant issues behind, because the WG1 will be discussing about that, and it will take maybe more than 1 year.
If may I add something?
Yes.
Just as an update, the intention was to stop the working group one as of this meeting, given where the working group was. But yesterday, the CCNSO Council adopted a resolution that the working group will look into, that working group will look into the string confusion mechanisms, and will come up with some recommendations to the council regarding that issue, that given the discussion we had at the CCNSO meeting. So it will not stop its activities as of this meeting. There will be some more discussions going on, but after that part is closed, the working group is still intends to go into sleep for a while.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Any discussion, comments, questions on this? If not, let's move forward. I have on my list, the third item is discussion on interim report. That's a Shavas point, and he is expected to come, so I'd like to leave it behind the action. Agenda item four. So let's go the item four first. It's discussion on changes to the rules and guidelines. Is it okay, Bart? Yeah. All right. So I sent you a mail with attached document, which is a Word document. which was created by BAT, issue identification rules and procedures of the CCNSO. Please open the file. Okay, that's great.
I need to move to that.
That part.
Is there a table?
There is one. Yes. Just a moment. Bart is putting up his presentation on the screen.
The document, so it's easier for everybody. I'm in reasonably good shape, but I can make it.
That's why you are so tall.
Yeah. The other thing is painting ceilings. I'm sometimes hired to paint ceilings.
Yes. Okay, but so please go through the document with explanation, and at each point we want to discuss about that.
Yeah. Let me explain what I've been doing. Is I took the rules and guidelines and added where necessary, because it's a reasonably small document. I added the document, say, the issues we already identified or more or less identified in the, say, one of the call before that. And so added this, and it's more reflecting, say, the discussions we had on the bylaws and how this document should change because of the bylaws. So it's not going into details whether it's still a valid rule or something, because that would be out of scope of this working group. So that's what I've done. So the first one is and the first issue is, first of all, is the membership definition. I think in itself it's not an issue, because the way it's stated here, it directly reflects to the membership definition of the CCNSO, and I think we all agreed that even with taking the discussion Chavez has raised again, said the membership part has already is closed, and we agreed that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs can all be members, and there is no distinction between them. So the rules and guidelines, so this definition reflects this, so there is no issue. And I think I captured this in the language. Maybe if you want to.
Yes, I don't think I have to read through. So, do you have any discussions on the membership part? So, that the membership unit is the CCTLD, not the territory, or not?
And this is a direct quote from the interim report on the membership definition. So that makes it very clearly say it's going into, and the same issues with the membership definition in the bylaw will apply to this one. So I think if you agree, say I would say this one is covered. The second one, let me go, meetings. I haven't identified any issues in this section of the rules and guidelines, so that's fine as well. Scrolling down, quorum. Again, this is more or less the same issue as we have identified in the interim report. However, say the way we've managed that problem with regard to the bylaws, the conclusion was if you end up with one vote per territory, then the issue of quorum is how should I explain it? Will evaporate. It's a non-issue. You think it's an issue, but as soon as you start using other mechanisms than one vote for paternity, then the quorum issue will backfire. But as soon as you assume this one vote per territory, the quorum is not an issue.
So are you all right on this point? So voting issue, solving the voting issue, solves this, right?
It depends very much on, say, the discussion on voting. If we end up in a way that it will be state, and as Shahbaz is proposing, one vote per TLD or CCTLD, whether it's IDN CCTLD or ASCII TLD, this issue needs to be resolved because then it becomes an issue, the quorum. If you say one vote per territory, then the quorum will resolve itself, because then it means that 50% of the total membership is 50% of the membership from different territories. So a short abbreviation of it is 50% of the territories associated with the CCNSO, that's the quorum.
So basically it will stay as current situation, right?
Based on the assumption of one vote per territory. That's very important to keep in the back of your mind.
Okay, any discussion or any comments on this? Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, just one thing, and I think we need to, for the record, need to state this assumption, because probably in the discussion about Shava's proposal, this will be one of the implications of his proposal to have one vote, one membership vote. So what you see, it propagates through the rules and guidelines, but also in the bylaws. Then we have to revisit the quorum issue again, just for the record.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Okay, move on.
And here you see this is a direct quote from Annex C, and this is again on members. And as soon as we start changing the bylaws and the requirement of 66% of the members, this needs to change as well. So this is resolutions under the policy development process. This is a direct quote. And here again, the 50% of those voting in favor. Again, this needs to be adjusted. And this is where we have these are the way we dealt with it. I think this is C section 4. Again, 10% of the members. Now, section 5.2, that is from the rules. So a vote shall commence 5 days after notification of the proposed resolution, and the vote shall stay open for a period of 14 days. Again, if you look at it, the issue I see, will have implications. If we go for, say, a partial vote for some territories, or even, and that's a discussion I had with Shahbaz, you can do it two ways. If you would say, okay, we go for one vote per territory. Now, what we need to think of is, as a working group, is how will the mechanics look like? Do we go for one representative per territory? If not, we go for, say, a vote a split vote. You can go for a split vote in some territories, but you also could have a staggered voting mechanism, that you first go for voting in territory, then add, say that that's more that, so what is the majority vote for that territory will be the vote for that territory, and so you have a kind of pre-voting in a territory between the members to determine the vote of that territory. So it's another way of organizing it. So you see you have three ways of organizing it. And if you go for, say, the third option, say the pre-election or pre-voting in a territory, that will take time. So if we would propose that solution, the timelines in especially the rules, but maybe also in the bylaws, will need to be revisited. And one of the dangers is that I see is that the time between the end vote and a decision, especially in the rules, is so far-fetched that it will have implications on the efficiency, effectiveness of the CCNSO itself.
Just a short comment on this. If you go to a staggered voting, we in some way are dealing with the internal things of a territory, and it will be difficult to be sure that there will be some outcome on this, because you can wait and have no outcome. Then I suppose you have to decide if you will going to go inside the territory, or if we see the territory from the outside only. If we see the territory from outside only, we have two options, or if you want one option, is to consider the proportionality of voting of each member of each CCTLD, and we can allow to the territory to put all their vote in a single member if we have some kind of documentation on that. Maybe some territory can say, in this voting I am represented by IDN CCTLD or the normal CCTLD, and my vote is concentrated in that one. In that case, we accept that one as the representative for that specific voting. I suppose we have to decide if we're going inside or we'll see these things from the outside. I suppose going inside is a little bit dangerous.
What do you mean by going inside? What is an example?
The example is we'll wait for some kind of voting inside the territory to get the position of that territory. There we are obliging them to have some kind of process to decide this. And I'm not sure if this finished in the right way in all the cases.
That became very clear as soon as there Shabbos. Morning, Shabbos. But that became very clear. So when you started looking at timelines, and in some other cases, I think even in the bylaws there's timelines, but they are not so stretched as in this one. Another solution would be to extend the timelines, but then again you run into the risk of effectiveness.
Or just don't go inside. Just wait for a proportional voting, yeah. or some representative of that territory that can have the single vote.
I think we will touch upon that later on again, but representative voting is you end up with maybe at the end of the day 16 one-third in favor, and I don't know what that in third one-third means.
It's easy to
Okay.
But I think it's very clear from, I think that's a good one. So what I'll add on this to this one is, say, the first option is look at the outside, and then you have two mechanisms, and the other one is go inside, and that would mean a type of pre-election. Yeah?
Okay. Any other discussions? I think we can go to the remaining part.
Yes.
Before coming back to the one vote per territory issue.
Yeah. Let me just.
Yes, please take your time.
Just to complement an idea to Bart, in the case of partial voting, maybe we can have another approach. That is that one. At the end of the voting, if you have part of the territory voting in some way and part voting another, you can assume that the winning part will have one vote. If you have just part of the territory voting without the opposition, they get one vote anyway. Then you have a way to put embedded in the voting the territory inside voting.
If you have two or three countries with say partial voting, then it becomes, and if you all add them up, then it becomes very complex.
My idea is say one territory has three TLDs, yeah, and just one showed for voting, and there is just one third of vote, then you can make it one vote because there is no opposition inside the territory. If you have one in pro, one against, and the abstention of the third, then you have to consider this tie. Then you have
it means again that we need to check with, say, from staff perspective, or somebody needs to check whether everything, who has voted within from the country with three CCTLDs.
Yeah, but anyway, the vote is voluntary. You don't can oblige the people to vote. Then, if you have, say, 10 TLDs for one territory, just one vote, and the other nine abstain, you can give one vote for that one. They get the whole vote. It's not a tenth of vote. It's the whole vote, because there is no manifestation of the others.
That's an addition again to... That makes, for instance... I can imagine it, but if you have in more countries, then again with these timelines, you'll run into issues because you have to do some counting afterwards. Now, somebody has to.
Now, at the finishing of the voting, say we have one territory with just one TLD voted in some way, another territory with 10 TLDs voted, two in favor and the other eight abstain. We count this as one vote, as the other, as the normal territory with just one TLD. Then you have just integral votes. You don't have partial at the end of the counting.
Yeah. But who needs to determine? Who will determine the end vote of a country or a territory?
At the end of the voting, you see how many of that TLDs of that country has voted, and you make the summation. If this is pro the voting, they get one vote. If it's against, they get one vote again.
So that will be more or less the job of the election manager.
Yes.
Just to have it clear, but that will be, applying to a country or a territory. And what if there is no chance to have an agreement within that country or territory? That will mean that probably that country or territory, although there are some parties in that country or territories that have an opinion and a strong position, they will not be able to express their votes at an upper level, because if there is no agreement, that cannot be taken at the upper level. Is this what I understand?
More or less. Maybe we can use this when you have just a one-way manifestation in some territory. Say part of the votes of that territory is going one side and the other are abstained. Then you get the whole vote in that side because it has an abstention of the rest of the territory. If you got opposition of the other part, you have to go to partial voting, and it's difficult to say that we have 3¼ in pro and 2/4 against or something like this. Then this would be a difficult thing. But anyway, inside the territory, you have a decision, because you have 10 votes in pro, 2 votes again. Of course, even with voice opposition of these two, the final result is pro. It's a vote, you know.
Service.
Yeah, I'm sorry for being late. The BART's train got stuck for half an hour in the station. I got here late. So I want to know what thread you're following now, because there was something about the voting membership I wanted to talk about. But I don't know if that's the time.
It's a separate, because you were not here. We're just looking at the rules and guidelines, the changes, and what we've already, I think this group already noted, is assuming we go for one vote per territory, and that's still the assumption, because we need to discuss it after we've done this, then we have no issue with quorums. And we're still looking at some of the sections in the rules, and after we've gone through this one, because it can go very quickly now, is then we revisit the point of, are we going for one vote per territory or one vote per member?
Yeah, I guess this discussion then underscores the difficulties we're facing with one vote, one territory.
Yes, so going back to the 5.2, do you have any other items? All right, so before moving on, for the record, at this moment, Jian and Shavas joined the meeting. Okay.
Point three is, again, the quorum issue. Ratification or veto of council decisions. There is again, in section 3.6.3, there are two issues. Oh no, 6.2 and 6.3, there are two issues. One is again 10% of the membership, and we reflected this in the bylaws. But again, here is, and this is where you can really see what timing is of the essence. It's the possibility for the members, the CCNSO members, however, to veto or have a vote on council decisions. And if need be, that this is a very, very important rule in order, in the checks and balances of the CCNSO itself. And again, there is the trade-off between checks, say, between timeliness and the voting mechanism. And I think this is the section where it becomes most obvious. So the section itself in the rules and guidelines is, I'll scroll up, I hope you won't get seasick, ratification of veto of council decisions by the members. Yeah, most people in the CCNSO are not even aware of this rule, but that's something else. Yeah?
Do you have any statistics on how many times this has happened so far in CCNSO, the 10% of...
Never. Probably in itself, yes, say from a practical point of view, but I think it's very important that you have this point in order to, as a check and balances rule in the rules of the CCNSO itself, because this assures or ensures that the council never can go astray.
So the question here is, how do we avoid a situation when we have a territory with large number of CCTODs, either IDN or not, and that territory, and it may happen to be the same CCTOD manager, can use this point to raise an objection or whatever, if they have for some reason 10% of the membership.
Or you have two countries closely aligned. That's the more obvious one. That goes right at the heart of the issue that Shavas raised.
Yes, but we need to consider here what we are trying to restrict or allow, because and this goes in a bit of the one vote per country anyway, but we will discuss that later. You may have a very strong issue which reflects a number of CCTOD or a smaller group, and if this provision is to enable such issues to be made more visible, we should probably view this in that regard. I mean, not prevent it from happening. If the idea of this restriction, the 10% membership, is to avoid too much decisions to be invoked, then probably it is okay to say it is better to limit this to 10% of the territories. It depends of what we want to achieve.
And you could even suggest here a 10% of the membership, say with the increasing membership, this becomes very hard. You could even put in a, if we would assume we would go for one vote per territory, you could even limit yourself to say a specific number of territories, a minimum number of territories. That it as well, the 10%. Currently, there are, I think, 113 members of the CCNSO. It means 12 members. So that means 12 territories need to align themselves. And in the early days, it was just 3 or 4.
Or you could say 10% from at least 2 distinct geographic regions.
Going down that path is it's say then you have North America as one region with 4 members, max 4 members, and you got the European region with I think there are about potentially 70 members from the European region. And if you take into account the Asian Pacific regions with the IDN CCTLDs, that will blow up enormously. You see, then there is a disbalance in the regions as well.
What I meant was that these 10% should come from diverse regions, that not just one region.
But will we revisit that in the point of voting again? Okay, this is again the minimum number of members, and it's closely aligned again with the voting and the timeline here. So that's with 6.3, committees, changes to the rule, the issue of the quorum again, the 66%, what does it mean? And this is more at the end, is more a transitional issue. Depends, say, when should this be adopted? Is this adopted after the change of the bylaws, or you want to do it at the same time? I would suggest try to do it at the same time, so that the current membership so will vote on this, because then it's very clear. They will vote on the bylaws anyway. Okay, so that's the rules of the CCNSO. I also looked at the other guidelines, quorum, yeah. The other guidelines, and I've going through all the guidelines, I came up with 3 which probably need to be adopted. So the first one is the CCNSO General Meetings Guideline. Probably most of you are not aware that it exists, but there is one. Again, the quorum issue. ratification of veto of council decision, this is this is the same rule as in the rules itself in this guideline, but here it is a guideline, so once we've adjusted the rules, it will be incorporated in this one. So that was this one is probably more important, guideline selection procedure for ICANN board seats 11 and 12. A bit on the background of this one, the CCNSO, this mechanism of the CCNSO has been developed by the CCNSO itself. If you look at the way the ICANN board's members are appointed, it is a selection of the CCNSO council. But through this guideline, say the mechanism of the CCNSO members' vote on candidates is ensured. So in principle, and there ways, this is where you see where the rules come into play as well. If the council would decide just unilaterally to appoint one, then you got the rules, and it's clearly against these guidelines. So these are, in fact, voluntary rules from the council. Again, we've discussed this, in fact, with CCNSO member can nominate. We've discussed this in the context of the CCNSO council members, so I think this doesn't need to be changed. So when we looked at the bylaws, because we looked at the mechanism how members of the council can be nominated and seconded, and this is every CCNSO member can nominate one, whether it's an IDN, CCTLD. So this is, there is no distinction here between IDNs and CCTLDs. Again, this is just recorded here. Let me check. Election by CCNSO members. Let me see what I did. Again, this is the quorum rule, and maybe, again, because this is voting, again, I think I haven't recorded it in this one. I need to include it. I need to include it. Is again on board seats whether you want to go for one vote per territory or a full vote by all the members. So something to reconsider, and I could imagine that in this case, if you have a lot of CCTLDs from one territory, it would there would be a disbalance. So maybe I should I'll include this one again. So then I have it in here as well. So that's with the election of the board members, and I think I have the final one is the CCNSO council election procedure. This is embedded in, say, this is directly a reflection of Section 4.8 of the bylaws, Article 9. And again, I think it's part of the discussion we had already on the bylaws. So this needs, what we come up with from the bylaws need directly be translated into this update. And that's all the issues I could identify in the rules and guidelines. So a question from me to you. The first one is probably, I don't know if you've checked the rules and guidelines, but I want to be, and we could ask the members as well, and we should ask the members, but are there any issues that on the top of your head that are not addressed in this document? That's, I think, the first one. We don't need to answer it, but if you think we've addressed the issues relating to inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the rules and guidelines, then we can move on from here.
Does anyone have some addition to the points, the issue points? At this moment, no. Yes.
No, I think that, you know, I want to thank Bart for checking the rules and guidelines, which is something really legalist. And so, I mean, on my side, my full trust to what Bart has done, and I believe that his work is correct. So, and takes into account all the different aspects. So, that's it.
Thank you. Any others? Okay. So, for this document, so I think the how to proceed on this rules and guidelines document will be very much affected by the outcome of one vote per territory discussion. So before deciding how to proceed on this, I'd like to go back to the issue of one vote per territory first. Is it okay for you? Okay. So maybe it's a kind of agenda item 3, which is one vote per territory issue, so-called. So does everyone have intimate concept on your mind what the discussion point is? I believe so.
Well, maybe, Shabbos, you want to initiate that discussion by restating what your thinking, how it evolved. Say you did it already on the phone call, but now we have more members in the room, and it's a good starting point.
Yes, please, Shabbos.
Yeah, thank you. I sort of think this is maybe an exercise in futility because we've already gone so far with the one vote per territory, but I think it should be recorded somewhere because I was one of the early advocates of one vote per territory myself because I thought it was ridiculous to have, say, 12 votes from India or 2 votes from Spain because just Spania has a tilde on the end. But then, you know, I've had second thoughts about this. You see, the idea of having one vote per territory has a couple of assumptions in it. One of them is that this RFC 1591 is somehow sacrosanct because at one time, IANA didn't want to define what a territory or what a country is, so they just resorted to this list, ISO 31661. Now it seems to me that we have a more reliable list to really rely on that. That's the IANA database list of CCs. You know, with adding, you know, IDNs just generates new, a bigger list, and that could be actually the reference point for what a country is or what the territory is rather than what the ISO 3166-1. It's just history. I mean, I don't see any really overwhelming reasons why that should be adopted anymore. So I'm just questioning one of the assumptions on which this is based. I mean, we've gotten so used to it that we don't want to think any other way. The other thing is that, you know, when we say why 12 possible representatives from India, why 2 from Spain, we don't realize that these are not, I mean, I think somebody pointed out early in our meetings, telephone conferences, that this is not the United Nations. I don't know who it was, but somebody said that. And you see, we're sort of, when we're assuming some kind of primacy of political divisions, when we say India should have just one vote. You know, if you listen to the complexities of all the IDN variations in India, for example, you realize that if you ever had 12 CCNSO members from India, which is not very likely, then you'd have really 12 groups with 12 really different problems to deal with, not just one country. I mean, it's like we have... okay, so this primacy of political divisions, the UN model to me, is something that, you know, can be questioned. Now, the discussion I listened to now, and I've been listening on the phone conferences, underscores the problems of devoting just one vote to one territory, because you either have to say that, okay, the territory has to iron out its problems, or you have these fractional votings and so on, which make it things very complicated. Now, just saying, passing this back onto the territory is not as simple as it sounds, because there may be real conflicts within the territory of how they want to do this. And I see the role of GAC and the governments increasing with this, because the IDNs need the approval of the governments at this time. And what's going to happen is that in the future, the CCTLDs that were not governmental entities, they may, even though they may have been the pioneers in, you know, setting up CCNSO and all, they may have to take on a secondary role vis-a-vis the CCTLDs that have the government blessing, you know, on their side. And I can see, you know, I know examples where there will be conflicts within the territory. So one could be completely indifferent to this and say, well, let them iron out their problems. As long as they haven't ironed out their problems, there's no representation from that territory. That's one way of looking at it. Another way would be to have some kind of interim solution. Now, the another thing that I'm a little worried about is that I see with all this the divisions within CCNSO paralleling those of the GAC, and I express this fear that I'm afraid that CCNSO may be moving it in the direction of becoming just the technical arm of GAC if we follow the just their divisions. So I think this requires a little bit of thought. You know, I think we should not rush into this idea of one vote per territory. You know, I'm having some doubts about it, even though I was for it at the beginning. So I think this requires some discussion. Let me just say this.
Okay, thank you, Shabas. Okay, Temi.
Just to point what I think is a contradictory point in what you said. If IDN TLDs is sponsored by the government, if you give in some way equal footing or a vote per TLD, not per territory, will give even more power to the government, because they bring the IDN TLDs to the board. Then the problem equating CCs to government, it's an old one. There is no easy solution to that. But we have the argument that we are not countries. We are territories in some ISO list from the very beginning. Falkland Islands, for example, is a territory, or Antarctica is also a territory. Then I suppose this is what defines us as a community, as a supporting organization. If we go far from this original list, I suppose we will expose the CC to a lot of weakness we maybe don't find useful. And again, I see that if you want to avoid more technical power to the governments, you have to avoid also to make this power multiplied by any IDN TLDs they can create in some country.
One thing, Shabas, if you look at the IANA database with regard to IDNs, if you look at the fast track and in the overall policy, the basic assumption for IDNs is that it should be associated one way or the other with a territory. That is the starting point of the whole discussion, even the IANA database. So, say, although I understand your argument, I think even the IANA database, underneath the IANA database, is still the ISO 3166 list, even if you would include IDNs, because that has not changed. That is, I would say, the core of the CCs. Yeah. Daniel?
Okay, I first have to say I fully agree with what Siwa has said so far. I would like to make some additional points. First, the CCNSO is a very specific group of TOD registers that is different from, for example, the GNSO group, mainly in that in the GNSO group the policy is created through the ICANN process, so it is external to them, while in the CCNSO group the policies of every registry are sort of local matter. I mean, they are developed in very different ways, in different cultures. So this is one of the strengths that the CCNSO has over any of the other groups, I would say. When we talk about ID and CCTODs, even in the current, and we should note that we talk about experience, but we can only say we have very limited experience because we can talk only about the fast track, which is again very limited and strict in definition. But even in the fast track process, the ID and CCTODs that are created are not created just an ID and CCTOD per territory. It is an ID and CCTOD per territory and language and script. So in fact, even if in one country we have several ID and CCTODs now, it is very possible that they represent very different cultural environments. They may have very different rules, and they also may have very different views on the way ICANN should work. So we should not ignore the chance to have their input in the CCNSO, I mean, as their vote for particular topic. So in my opinion, indeed, we should probably revisit this idea of one vote per territory, especially because every registry has their own unique perspective. Another topic, entirely different, is when you have one CCTOD manager that manages several TODs, but that's different.
Yes, but they have to deal with one.
Of course, we have to take that into account, but not consider that if you have, five ID and CCTODs within the country, they have the same opinion, they have the same expertise, they have the same view. I don't think this will be the case in the future. Maybe it is the case in the short term, because they try to make it look more like that. And another point, if we want those CCTODs within the same territory to come to some agreement, it is my opinion that we, in a way, call for the government to play some coordination role within that territory. So in the end, we will hear the opinion of the government, not the opinion of the CCTOD managers. And the CCNSO is actually all about that.
My comment is that our cut, the thing that defines the CC community, is the country codes. We don't have to do with cultural differences as the way to define who is inside our community. In other case, .cat for Catalonia has to be a country code component. Maybe we have a lot of new GTLDs that is also cultural. Then if you can, if you open the definition of CC beyond the ISO 3166 table, you will blur the difference between CCs and the other TLDs. then we can go this way. But in this case, there is no reason to have really a constituency called CC.
I see that, you know, the strongest point for having one vote per territory is the historical reason, that the CCNSO came into being at the time when the definition of CC was what appears on the ISO's list. And doing anything else is a radical step. I understand this, you know, and I'm not saying that we should immediately do this. But I'd say this is a point to take into account, because I'm afraid if we don't do that, I sort of see the CCNSO as disappearing in the long run and becoming just subservient completely to GAC. This is the warning signal I was trying to give. Now, I understand the problem. I understand that the definition of CCNSO, the very origin of CCNSO, is tied up with the definition of ISO 3166. Now, this I understand. But somehow, I have two worries, one long-range, one short-range. The long-range I expressed already. It's the idea that CCNSO may just lose its independent identity in the long run this way. The short-range problem, as I mentioned, was this thing of how you're going to divide the votes. I mean, it's not going to be as simple as stated that, you know, just ask the territory people, you know, if you want to divide it into fractions, that's got its problems, as was mentioned. And if you want to just tell the people in the territory to somehow come up with their solution, that's going to have its problems. So maybe, I don't know, are we trying now to... One question is, when is this going to go into effect, whatever we decide? Is this going to go into effect immediately for, say, fast-track ones also? Or are we going to wait until the whole PDP goes through and then...
You want me to answer that question? Say, one of the things is the... it will look like Working Group 1 will, say, either very shortly, but I assume around Singapore... The Singapore will meeting will go into hibernation, will go into sleep, awaiting the outcome of the variant discussion. It's, say, you got the ICANN variant issue project, and nobody has any idea what the issues around variants are, or they are so mixed that... Yes, but I think preempting the outcome of that discussion by already including something in a policy is not very wise, to put it mildly. So that was one of the reasons why it was suggested to stop with the work of the Working Group 1 until that has more definitions. On the other hand, say there is no reason to move ahead with this working group to start to include IDN CCTLDs as well if they want to become members of the CCNSO, because currently, by definition, IDN CCTLDs cannot be member of any group. So in that sense, there is a bit of urgency for this working group to continue its work. Now, moving forward, it doesn't mean whether it's 2 or 3 months, but say we as soon, and I think we captured now one of the real major issues, and that is the voting, because I think in my mind, as far as I can recall, this working group already agreed, based on the working group principles, that in principle every CCTLD, whether it's IDN or ASCII CCTLD, will be an equal member of the CCNSO. It is only focused on, and that goes a bit to what you said, Danielle, is they will provide input on equal footing. They can do whatever. It is only with regard to voting, and that is the major issue probably, is well, this working group needs to come up with recommendations. And what is feasible, because I think by this discussion we get a far clearer idea of the real issues underlying these voting mechanisms, that maybe as part of moving forward, that we start to document the issues surrounding the voting, as you mentioned them, and others have mentioned them, the pros and cons of the different formats. again and more in depth for a full-blown discussion in Singapore, because I think it's very fundamental, say, this discussion, and but that's my opinion.
Just to add another argument on that, we know that IDN-CCTL, this is an initiative of course, the countries. Some country has to propose an IDN. It's not from the commerce or from the business sector. Then the proposal has to come from a government or for a country or for anything, anyway. I suppose it's very useful to decouple the need to have a lot of IDNs for a country or for some region with the problems that this can bring to for example, to CCNSO. It will be useful to let the country ask for as many IDNs the country wants, 1,000, 100, without have to worry about what this impact, what this can impact or not in the organization as a country code organization. Other way, you have to think about limits. Because if you have infinite limits, you can have one territory that applies for, say, 2,000 IDN names, and this will cause the capture of the whole organization.
Just one question and one answer. Question is, so do I understand right from your comments that whatever decision we make about here, or whatever conclusion we come to about voting and so on, will not go into effect until after ICANN bylaws are officially changed to reflect these? That means sometime way in the future, maybe. Okay, so that, okay. But what Demi is saying, you know, I don't think this was initiated by the governments, as you said. I think this is the way, the path it took within ICANN. This is it's not the case that there were some governments that were putting a lot of pressure. Maybe they were threatening to go to ITU if ICANN didn't do this. So that was the pressure group was from the government. It doesn't mean the need was really came from the governments. So, I mean, we should make a distinction there. I mean, it's
formally the proposal is from government.
Okay, I would like to make a point here. The CCTODs do not exist to serve governments. They exist to serve local communities. So we need to take this into account when we talk about countries and governments and things like that. I mean, we should not... in this group, at least, in the CCNSO, we should not... attach so much influence on the governments. Of course, they do have influence, but they have their own group within ICANN, so they can express their influence there. It is not necessary to involve governments in the CCNSO work. Another thing, if we agree that there will be one vote per member, what are the perceived problems? I mean, we need to evaluate what we are sacrificing and what we're gaining. Because if we move to a scheme when we will recommend that there will be one vote for member per member, many of the other suggestions that we make will be much simpler and not that complex.
With the exception of court.
Yeah, of course.
It goes all the way, sorry.
I'm sorry. I think other team is waiting for us to close. Yes, yeah. I think we should end up in 3 minutes, so just 1 minute, okay?
Just, my position is exactly the same. This original CCs has nothing to do with governments, but the IDN CCs is a proposal from governments. then if you think that way, if you give more power proportional to the new thing that is coming on and not to the territorial code, you can open the door for a single government to create a thousand of identity LEDs just to have more control in the situation. And this is why I want to decouple the two things. We don't have to worry about how many IDNs is created by any territory. Not our issue. Your issue is country code support organization. We are related to codes, to country codes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Just to wind up, say I think we had say that it's very clear there are pros and cons to all the both proposals. I think what I'll try to do with here is map them out and send it to the working group for further discussion, and that we put it on the agenda for the Singapore meeting to a more extensive discussion with the membership or with the CCTLD community as well before we go into recommendations.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
Please do so. So let's wrap up our meeting. Before that, I'd like to make a next meeting schedule here. I think let's meet in 1 month. Okay. How about the April 14th? 4 weeks later, on Thursday. As usual.
Usual time.
Yeah. Usual time. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send the note.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, before winding up, any other comments?
Before ended, actually, I agree with Daniel and Savayash. I do have the same concern with them.
Thank you. Any others? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.